Welcome to episode 2 of the Now Spinning Magazine podcast with me, Phil Aston. On this second episode, I'm joined by Charlie White as we discuss our 10 reasons why CDs still rock. Everywhere you look online, vinyl is getting all the good press as people seem to fall over themselves wanting to write off the CD as a dead or dying format. On the Now Spinning YouTube channel, both myself and Charlie recently did separate videos listing out our top 5 reasons why CDs is still the format that we prefer. We thought it would be good to have an open discussion and ensure there was some positive press out there for the humble CD. So this podcast is for everyone who still buys and collects those humble discs, the CD. Okay, so welcome to another episode of the Now Spinning Magazine podcast. And I'm very pleased to have with me Charlie White, who's been a fantastic collaborator on Now Spinning for many years now. And recently we did a couple of videos called Why CDs Still Rock, where Charlie came up with his top 5 reasons, and I then did a follow-up with my top 5. And both videos have had quite a bit of traction and gained quite a bit of interest. And we thought we'd actually sit down and actually have a chat and go through these again and just elaborate a little bit more about why we feel, both of us, that CDs do indeed still rock. So, Charlie, I think we'll start with your first one, which was sound.
Yeah, sound quality was my number one issue because before 1987, when I lived in the world of vinyl records and cassette tapes, everything, vinyl quality back in the early 80s was just godly bad in America. And you just could not get a really good clean record of a major artist at that time. So when CDs came out, I was rather skeptical at first when I first saw one, but it won me over. After I heard my first one, it won me over.
Yeah. Well, I agree, actually, because in the 80s, a lot of the albums that I were buying before I moved over to CD, the sound quality wasn't very good. They were quite noisy pressings. I think when the first CD started to arrive, obviously everyone was stretching out to try and get to 60 minutes, which was the default length of a CD, wasn't it? And some of the albums were trying to be half an hour aside, and it just didn't work, did it, at all?
No. It's funny you should bring that up because I was in my car listening to... the first CD I ever bought that had bonus tracks on it was Skritti Politti, Cupid and Psyche 85.
Yeah.
And that CD had 3 additional tracks on there that was on the album. And now I've recently found out that they're going to re-release that album again, only on vinyl this time without those tracks. But Yeah,
interesting. And I think it was such it was a novelty at first, but then I got used to the fact that there was silence. For those of you listening and watching this, I still buy vinyl, but CD is my preferred format. So I've got nothing against vinyl, but the idea of just being able to put something on and I hear just the music. And I know that some vinyl people say, well, life has background noise. But when I like to listen to music, I like the silence between the instruments. And, you know, and that to me is, again, why I agree with you, Charlie, that the sound is just you and the music.
Right. Yeah. Drawback for that, you talked about the time, the play length of 60 minutes, because one of the first CDs I bought after I bought Dark Side of the Moon was Prince's 1999. And they dropped one track off that album in order to fit on one CD, even though they didn't really need to.
Yeah.
So to this day, I still have that CD that's lacking one track from 1999 that they eventually put on But, you know, I think the record company's fear was that if they start putting CDs out longer than 45 minutes or 50 minutes, that most players will not be able to track them very well.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, my first one was liner notes and booklets. And I wanted to mention this because a lot of people talk about the romanticism of vinyl is sitting down and listening to the music and looking at the cover as you listen to the music and reading the liner notes. But the fact is that once you got outside of the golden age of the early 70s with the gatefold sleeves and the booklets and the fold out whatevers, most vinyl turned into a single sleeve affair with not always an inner sleeve or anything inside. It was just literally the front cover artwork. On the back was the track listings, who played on it, who produced it, and that was it. And I think that people look back through this period of rose-tinted glasses in many ways, because most CDs now, and I agree, in the early days of CDs, some of the booklets or fold-out leaflets were very poor, but now most CDs, if not all of them that you buy now, come with a booklet or additional things, and there is more to sit down and look through and read in a CD than there is with vinyl. So I think you get more material with CDs than you do with vinyl records.
Yeah, the last two purchases I've had, I got one right here. You know, this is Pat Metheny's latest album, and it's just cardboard, and the booklet's inside here. Since I pulled up my fat fingers, you know, the book is here, and the CD's on the other side.
Yeah,
I miss the jewel cases, but you know, as people who know me realize that I don't store my CDs in jewel cases at all. I store them in binders.
Yeah.
But I remember buying many albums before major artists that only had, you know, it wasn't gatefold. It was just the, you know, just the album sleeve and the album side there with white paper as the slip cover. And that was it. And then, you know, I remember back the video you did a few, about 2 years ago, about when you bought some CD off of, was it Steely Dan that had just the.
It was a Joe Walsh one. It was
Joe Walsh. Right. Yeah. Right. And even before you even started that video, when you said first line that beat, I thought, oh, so I know exactly where this is going. I know exactly where this is going, because MCA Records at that time was really dirt cheap, and they just would not. They would just give the CD and the front cover and the back cover, and be, if you're lucky, there'd be something on the inside, maybe a track listing, and that was it.
Yeah, yeah, very very true. A bit like Wounded Bird Records were very similar, weren't they? But to be fair to them, they were issuing a lot of albums that were very, very hard to find.
That's true. That's very true. They are a rarities label, and they just deal with, I don't know, sometimes their artwork is not very good on their releases, but their discs sound actually most time pretty good. But you know, it's hit and miss with them.
Yeah, very true. Okay, and your second one was Size, which is a
Size is definitely a huge one, because let's face it, you know, a 12-inch record, it's, you know, is big. And look at your shelf behind you there. You know, if you had to pack them and leave all of a sudden, I'm sure you're not gonna move anytime soon. You realize how heavy those records are when you start to pack them up and have to move them elsewhere. And I just moved back to my hometown here in Central Texas just late last year, and my record collection took up 4 packing cases, and each of those packing cases were just so heavy, it was so hard to move. And I go back and I check on them; they're still fine and everything. But it's just, and for my CDs, since I got it all in binders, I just pick up the binders and just, you know, they're kind of heavy sometimes, but they're usable and they're doable.
I think it's a very good point because there's a cartoon you can see online quite easily where it's there's two guys talking to each other standing in front of a record player and an album collection, and the one guy says, "What I like about vinyl is the inconvenience and the cost," because the weight of them. You're absolutely right. I mean, and one of the things I've seen on forums is people saying, "I've got all my records upstairs and I'm worried about the weight and if the house can cope with it." And you don't realize until you start to move them around. The records behind me, I'd move them out of the garage to bring them in. And the sheer weight of them and how much room you need. I mean, I've got far more CDs than that, but they're still much easier to store and to carry. As you quite rightly say, if I suddenly wanted to move, it's easier to pick up your CD collection than the armored tank that is the vinyl carrier.
Yeah, I think vinyl lovers, vinyl people are now keeping the Kleenex cases at IKEA in business. I think that's probably the only reason people go to IKEA these days, to buy those Kleenex cases that the perfect size for records. You know,
yeah, that's. But also, I think that a lot of people not a lot of people live in large houses or have large apartments or large storage areas anyway. And most music collectors will joke online about saying they're running out of storage. But in a modern home, especially in the UK, where we don't have much room anyway, once you start collecting records, where you're going to keep them and how you're going to keep them, you know, is a big thing. So I think size is very much so a reason why CDs, you know, gain extra points there.
Right.
My second one was CD box sets, which I absolutely love, and especially the career-defining box sets for an artist, because those just are not practical in vinyl, in the vinyl world. Whether it's Blue Oyster Cult or it's Chicago, you know, 20, 30 albums in a box up vinyl would just weigh a ton and cost a fortune. And
right.
Where would you put it? You know, these things are just, they would be huge. So, I mean, I've got a Herbie Hancock box set. I know there's the Miles Davis one with about 75, 80 albums in there. You just could not do that as a vinyl set, I don't feel.
Actually, let me think about this for a second before I say it. I remember back in the early, maybe late 90s, early 2000s, Classic Records in the United States reissued the entire Led Zeppelin collection, Led Zeppelin
yeah.
catalog on vinyl, on not just anybody, on heavyweight, you know, 200 gram vinyl, and it was packed in a moving case. It was, yeah. it was that heavy.
Wow.
So, and Zeppelin has what, seven yeah. albums, I believe.
Yeah.
And you know. It was just so heavy. But it sold out quickly because it was so rare.
But I think that, I mean, I've got, behind me on the table, I've got box sets by artists like Ian Hunter and Wishbone Ash and female singer Judy Zook. And there's like 26 albums, 30 albums in each one, plus all the reading material, books and stuff. And it's, those are big things to find homes for, a vinyl box set, I don't think is practical. Now, your third one is a very good one, which is conversion. Because this is something that makes the CD very versatile, isn't it?
Yes. It does. It does. The ability to go from one format to another format is more important now than it probably was if I said this, you know, 20 years ago. Because like I said before in my video, my car doesn't have a CD player. It just has two USB ports, and I have to use either my phone or my iPod Touch to order to bring music into my car.
Same in the UK as well.
And you'd be hard pressed to find a new car these days with a CD player. So if you have a large collection of CDs, what do? You know, there's always the option of streaming, which is what they prefer you to do. But I don't want to stream on my car. I'd rather be my own DJ. It's plug in my phone and do it that way. Or if you want to walk around and just use headphones like these right here, that's the best way to do it.
Yes, I agree. So again, so the fact is you've got a lot of flexibility with a CD, more so than a vinyl album. Because obviously back in the day, we all made our mixtapes when cassettes were in, but I don't know anybody that burns blank CDs off their vinyl.
Actually,
do you know?
Actually, yeah, I do know some people who still burn CDs. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I suppose that they're burning CDs. That's fine. That fits in very well with our discussion.
Because if you go to a store here, if you go to like an electronic store in the United States somewhere, you won't find retail CDs at all. But if you go into the computer section, you'll still find blank CDs.
Wow.
Spindles.
Yeah.
I'm stunned too. You know, you still find blank CD and DVD spindles there. Like, I thought, wow, who's still burning CDs and DVDs these days? I'm like,
Because if you buy Apple machines like me and you do, they don't even have CD ports, do they, or anything?
Yeah, I got a one here in front of me here, a small portable CD, a DVD burner player here. I just use it to transfer CD. That's all I use
it. Exactly. I've got one as well made by Buffalo, and that's what all I use it for is to rip my CDs. That's it. Okay. Well, my third one was CD extras, because we were saying earlier about the fact that when CDs first came out, sometimes they'd miss off a track because they didn't want to extend it into being a two CD affair. But now, of course, it's the other way around, where it's more common that a reissue or a new release will come as a deluxe edition with two discs. One will be the album, the second one will be outtakes or remixes or a DVD of the making of the album. And what happens is that the vinyl version comes out and all that is stripped away and is not included. So I feel that with the CDs, you get more material, you get more stuff for your book than you do with the vinyl version. And some people might say, well, you know, I don't always listen to the outtakes or the B-sides, but I think it's different now. Some bands are doing acoustic versions of the tracks on the second disc, you know, and the DVD of the making of the album, whatever is interesting stuff. And it's part of a package and it's a tactile thing. As you say, it doesn't normally come in a jewel case anymore, but it's got a tactile feeling that you'll sit down and flick through it and look at what you've got. Whereas the vinyl one actually is becoming more so that it comes in a single sleeve with just the insert and nothing else with it. I think I'm beginning to notice that new vinyl releases are becoming less in gatefold sleeves now. Because I don't know if this is, you've noticed this in the States, Charlie, that some vinyl albums, new pressings would be double albums and the fourth side would be like an etching because it didn't quite stretch out to be a double album, but they just did it anyway. I'm seeing that now go the opposite direction where they're cramming everything onto the single disc.
Yeah, I've got the Prince CD here. I already told the story how I got that, but I did go to another store recently about over the weekend, and they had the Prince album on vinyl. It was a single album, but the price of it was just outrageous. I cannot believe they're asking this much money for a single slab of record for Prince. But before we started, I was online. I was searching through. I just now discovered that Rolling Stones is going to re-release the anniversary of the 45th anniversary of Tattoo You. Yeah. I didn't know that. And so I love that album. I love the Stones. It is one, and it's the one Stones album that I don't have on CD. So I'm gonna probably get this box set, but it comes in like four different varieties as you probably know, you know, the big four album set, the big four CD set. And then I'm gonna probably settle for the double CD set. Yeah, you know, one that has the album on one side and has the
outtakes and the extra tracks.
Thank you. Right. On the other side. I would like to have that Wembley stuff, the live stuff there, but I'm not going to shell out for it, though. But, I remember when Billy Joel released his catalog on CD the second time.
Yeah.
He bundled on his CD, he bundled his music videos on the CD, on the disc itself, so we can, you know, you can put the CD in your computer, and you can, you know, click on the icon, and then you can watch his MTV videos on there, which I thought was kind of cool. And then another one was Aerosmith had a CD where it had the album on there, but if you put the CD into a CD-ROM drive, it would bring up, you know, a screensaver. It would bring up not bonus tracks, but, you know, sparse tracks and sound clippings and stuff like that. It's kind of cool. I wish others would do that by now. But like you just said, it's hard to find a computer these days with a CD drive in them at all. So I guess it's sort of irrelevant.
I think, me and you did a video looking at Fragile Ball, yes. And one of the versions that I talked about was the Stephen Wilson remix, which came on CD, and the second disc was a Blu-ray. And on the Blu-ray was the vinyl drop-up version, this original mix, the remastered one, the DVD audio version that you have, and every single version you can imagine. And plus, obviously, the normal remastered CD as well. And of course, that came out on vinyl just as the Stephen Wilson remix. So everything else was not included. And I think that's why I feel the CD and the CD release, they can package so much more up for the fan, where you get the whole story and not, you know, not just the vinyl offering.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, carry on.
That's okay. That's good. Let's move to the next one. I was going to say, I haven't heard the Stephen Wilson remix of that one yet. I need to hear it, and I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, it's very good. Well, the next one is one of yours, Charlie, is the Ease of Playback.
This one took a little bit of explain on my part in the video. I'm not sure I got myself, I was entirely clear about what I meant. But let me see if I can bring it into context here. The ease of playback means that, you know, when you buy a record, like I said in the video, you know, you buy a record for $30 or $35 and you put it on a Crosley suitcase player, which is $70, you know, you just spent half the price of the record player on the record just to hear the record come out of two little bitty speakers, or worse yet, two Bluetooth speakers that may be far out in the room somewhere to enjoy it. And I thought, that's, you know, that's ridiculous. You know, you could spend $9 or $10 on the same album. You can chunk that $65 into a cheap Blu-ray player. And the Blu-ray player will play not just CDs, it'll play CDs, DVDs, and Blu-rays. It'll do three things at once that the Crosley can do one up and do not, and not do it one thing very well. And my point is initially that the entry point to get great sound, good quality audio out of the format is much easier with an optical disc, be it a CD or a DVD or a Blu-ray, whatever, than it is for a record. Because, you know, if you want to get a good turntable, you're going to spend at least $200-$300 to do that. And that doesn't include for, you know, another preamp for it you may need, or you may need some sort of amplifier or a receiver, something like that. And so I think the entry point to me is easier to get great sound on the CD side than it is for the record side.
I totally agree. I think you can get a much better high quality sound out of the CD on a cheaper setup than you can from vinyl. And that leads me to my fourth one, which is maintenance, which these are very much interlinked, because I know in our own now spinning group, there are many people who are very much, adore the sound of vinyl. I understand that. But as you say, if you've got a £5,000 record player and you've got a preamp and you've got the, you know, $1,000 stylus and cartridge, it's going to make a difference. But of course, then there's the whole, almost like the Chinese tea ritual that I mentioned, where you take the record out. And I've seen people online taking the record out wearing gloves, and they clean the record and they place it down, and then they sit down for 20 minutes. Or if it's a new vinyl record, it'll be 10 minutes. Then you get up and turn it over. And then again, you've got to, when you put it away, you've got to clean it and make sure it goes back in its anti-static bag and you file it away. I like the idea that on the CD, I want to play this album and I'd put it on. And it will sound the same when I play it the 50th time as I play it the 100th time, because it's a CD. And I'm going to look after it, but it's very low maintenance. I know it will sound as it sounded before. I know the early pressings, people talk about CD rot sometimes, but that's a long time ago now. Whereas vinyl, if I buy a CD, it will arrive and it will play. I bought a vinyl album the other week, and the cover was biffed, so I had to send it back. And then another one arrived, and this one had surface noise on one side, so I had to go back, and then I gave up and bought the CD. So I think that vinyl is high maintenance. It's big. It's very expensive, which is going to come on to your fifth one soon. But I think that they're very easy to play and get a really good sound. As you say, I've got my Blu-ray player. If my CD player went belly up, I can play my CDs on my Blu-ray player and they'll sound very good.
Right, exactly. Right.
That's the thing, isn't it? And I'm going to do anything to maintain them, really.
Yeah, and another thing, you know, on the hardware side of all this, besides records, you know, I know I get people how people like the ritual, like you just, as you described of going to a shelf, pulling the record off the shelf, pulling the record out, putting it on a turntable, precisely putting the needle under the lead-in groove and enjoy. I get that. You know, I get that. But if you are a regular owner of vinyl, you have to maintain your setup though. And that means, like, for me, it was like every 2 years. Every 2 years, I used to buy a new needle, whether I need it or not, because I don't know what the wear is on my needle. Or if you have a really good setup, you have to align the cartridge up. You have to be sure that, you know, the track weight is correct on the record. And I'll just end with this one point here. And this is the one thing that sort of drove me away from vinyl when I was younger. I had bought, what was it? Wings Greatest Hits.
Yeah.
It was the last one of the last vinyl record. And here in the United States, Paul McCartney Wings were on the Capitol label. And so I bought Wings Greatest Hits and I put on my had a pretty good turntable at that time and had a very high quality cartridge, but the music was drowned by a constant roar of surface noise. And I cleaned it. Three or four times, and it was horrible. The music was being drowned by the surface noise.
The rumble,
took the record back, and got another one. Guess what? Same thing. Mm. And I thought, okay, I'm done. And, you know, whenever I see this on CD, I'll get this on CD, which I haven't bought yet, by the way. But that's beside the point.
But the other thing I've just thought of while you're saying that is that. I know some people like to sit down and they'll play the whole album all the way through, but I've always been somebody that likes to play certain tracks from certain albums. I don't necessarily sit down and think I'm going to play the whole thing all the way through. I mean, you know, when I was younger, I'd have albums all over the floor and I'd be playing the third track in, the fourth track in. Modern vinyl, I wonder how, you know, a lot of people do this when they've got like clear vinyl, red vinyl, yellow vinyl, green vinyl, when so many different colors to try and pick out. A separate track. You can't see where one track begins and ends. So I remember I bought an album by a prog band I like called Riverside, and I couldn't find a black vinyl version. They were all yellow or orange. And you cannot see where one, you can't see where the tracks begin and end. So the CD again, I want to play track five. I just go along and I'm ready to roll.
Yeah. I have an album. I forgot who it's by. I have an album. I think it's by Muddy Waters.
Yeah,
and it's white. The Nevada is white, and you cannot see any of the tracks. You would strain your eye trying to find the cue points on this album because it's all white. It's like, oh, jeez. Yeah. But unlike you, I do when I drop a CD in a drawer in the player, I do play it usually from start to end. Without skipping tracks. But if I'm in my car, it's a different issue, though.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, right. Number five for you, Charlie, is cost.
Yeah, so let me go back to my Prince analogy again, because like I said, when I was out looking for this album a few weeks ago, out over my hometown and everything, I couldn't find it. It was hard to do, but I don't remember what the retail price was, but when I found it was only $10. I was very happy about that. But then over the weekend, when I saw again, the vinyl version, the very same album. And again, one is just one record, not two. And not, it wasn't has to be mastered. It wasn't anything special about it. It was just the vinyl version of Prince's album.
Yeah.
It was three times the cost of what I paid for the CD. And I think that's ridiculous.
I think it's ridiculous, but is it because both of us are from the vinyl era where we saw the opposite of that happening when CDs first arrived? They were three to four times the cost of where records were at that stage. And so maybe for us, we're seeing this and thinking it just makes no sense whatsoever. But if you're new to vinyl, maybe it does make sense, but again, it goes back to the size thing, doesn't it? Because you're paying for something is not as practical as the CD and the cost. I mean, I'm over here in the UK, the best of the Who was something like 35 English pounds and the CD was five.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense. I do feel that it's like the record labels are just squeezing as much out of this as they can while they can.
Well, I have a friend here who's in town with me. And he's a big vinyl fan. He made an interesting point of all of this. He said, "Yes, Charlie, the records are more expensive now than they were then. But if you measure the cost of record based upon inflation, the prices are pretty much about the same." And
that's,
you know, we sat down and figured it all out with the calculator. And his estate was absolutely correct. Based on inflation, the costs have not changed all that much.
No, your friend has a very good point, actually. That's just reminded me that when I first started buying records in the 70s, I just left school and was going to work. And a new album was about, in English money, about £3.25. And my apprenticeship money per week was about £16. So it was like 25% of my salary was how much it cost to buy a record. So yes, if you look at it like that, then albums are still cheap compared to what our incomes are now. But I think it's because of all the things we've mentioned, size, the liner notes, the ease of playback, the extras, what you can buy for the price of, as you said, $10 for the new Prince album on CD. It just makes it look like and of course it's easier to store and to take with you, etc. It makes it an ideal format to this day.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And that brings me to my last one, which was They're Yours. And this obviously brings vinyl into it as well, because this is the streaming thing. I stream to discover stuff, or if you on the group or someone else mentions a band I'm not familiar with, I'll go and stream it to see if it's something I'd like to have. And it's the like to have that makes us different as collectors, because I want to have a copy of it. I don't want to rent it. So I'd rather know that it's my copy than know I've rented it. So if I decided not to have a Spotify or an Apple Music subscription, I haven't lost all my music. It's mine.
I think that's a point that is lost these days on people who stream music. It's the convenience over the quality that gets them over. That's what I don't need longer have shelves full of records and CDs and everything. Everything I need is on my phone here. I could just plug in my head, plug in and get Spotify and not worry. Yeah, it's the convenience. The convenience is always there. Convenience will always be quality, unfortunately. But what they don't realize is that once they stop paying that, I don't know how much Spotify is or Pandora or whatever per month. But once you stop paying that you lose access to all that. All that's gone.
Yes.
You'll have that anymore. And if you do try to access it, you have to access it on the free tier, which means you got to deal with ads.
Yeah.
And the whole point of you paying for it was not to deal with ads at all.
Yeah.
And so, and you, like me, we feel, I don't stream that much. I stream occasionally, but not that much. But because I think musicians, much like yourself, deserve to be paid for the work. And they get paid much more from physical media than they do from streaming media. And I mean, that point's been pushed out before.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, I think that where the record labels, what they forget is they think everything is about playing the music. It's about playing a vinyl record. It's about spinning a CD. It's about streaming it. Why doesn't everyone stream? What they're missing is you don't necessarily enjoy your collection just because you're playing it. Like you with your folders with all your CDs in, you can sit down and browse through that. You may not have anything actually playing in the background. You're just looking for something to play. You might decide, you might stop and read through some of the sleeve notes of something you've read many times before, but it's in front of you. I might pick up a box set off my bookcase and sit down and read the story or something. And I'm not actually playing the music, but I'm enjoying the music, my music collection, without actually pressing play. If you just stream, you don't have any of that. You don't have any of the bit like Pink Floyd's immersion sets. You take them off. And yes, I know they included things like marbles and scarves and stuff, but they also include lots of books and memorabilia. And a music fan, that's part of the experience of enjoying the artist's work. It isn't just pressing play. It's not just the audio file or the track. And I think that brings in vinyl and CD, but I do think that the CD, as you say, supports the artist more. They're easier to produce. And I know they're more cost effective to us as fans, but I think the bands themselves, it's easier for them to carry those on tour and sell at concerts than it is a ton of boxes of vinyl.
Yeah, exactly. Excuse me. One of the things, unfortunately, in the United States, there are no prison plants in the United States anymore, CD prison plants. They're all been closed down.
Yeah.
And so the two CDs I've shown you today, the Prince one and the one from Pat Metheny, those came from Mexico.
Really?
On the wrapper on the back of this, manufactured in Mexico. And here it's like, I feel like, the record companies are just trying to phase out the CD completely. If they could get rid of it tomorrow, they would totally do it and not look back at all. And so if you wanted the new album, it's going to be on either be a record, a vinyl, or it's going to be a streaming, one or the other. And I haven't even thought about, or downloads. Who does downloads anymore?
Yeah, well, downloads. And I am involved in the music business as well through my wife's music. And downloads have literally disappeared, because why would anyone do that anymore? It makes no sense, because you can just, why would you download it onto your phone to take up space when you can just stream it? I think downloads are just, they're gone. But I, the amount of blogs and people talking about CDs, people are, as you say, there are some people desperately, from the headlines saying it's the end of the CD, vinyl's making more money. Well, there's a price point that's causing the revenue changes, really. You know, you can buy a CD for probably $3. You can get them for £3-4 here. But obviously, if a vinyl album is £25, $35, then obviously the revenue is going to be quite high. But I do think there's a lot of people that love this format. And there's some specialist labels in the UK, Cherry Red Records, that sell more CDs now than they've ever done. Probably because it's becoming more niche.
So right, exactly.
It's becoming more niche. There'll be a fan base to it. There's still millions of them sold, and probably it'll level off. I don't think it's never going to come back to like it was. I don't think vinyl will, as much as people think it will. The size of people's living rooms will determine at what point the vinyl sales go down.
Well, what they could do is the same thing that, you know, the Beatles did with their collection. You know, have a box set of vinyl records and then release the vinyl records individually, you know, one by one, and you can just pick them out as you see fit. I guess my last box set I bought was. Maybe that Zeppelin box, I believe. That's not the last one. And I see the box set that you guys get in the UK that if I wanted a band, I could go to the Amazon website and do it that way. I haven't seen the box set that I really wanted in a long time. But this, like I said before, this Stone set of Tattoo You, I'll probably end up getting the double CD of it and let that be the end of it.
Yeah, I will go for the double CD version of the album as well. And that will suit me just fine. And I think because if you buy the vinyl one, I guess you probably won't get the extra tracks, will you? It'll be the remastered album, unless you buy the big box, is it?
Unless you buy the big box, yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and I had the album on vinyl already. So and again, like I said, I never bought that album on vinyl for some reason. I don't know why, but I just never did. So I'll pull that trigger for that one when it comes out in, I think, October, something like that.
The other thing before we wrap this up that I've noticed is that, because obviously in America you've had this horrendous massive heat wave, that I read, I think it was on Billboard magazine, where lots of vinyl albums were being returned because by the time they arrived at their destination, they were warped through the heat. And people were saying how they were going to deliver vinyl in the changing climate.
I think somebody's using the weather as a scapegoat here. Yeah. What they won't tell you is that they're not pressing vinyl records at very high qualities. You've been to this Steve Hoffman website. Yeah. I go to Steve Hoffman and I read some of the new some of the stuff about the new releases there, and they're talking about how warped the new records are. I thought, you spent $35 on a record that you can't play.
Yeah,
it's not the weather causing. That's just poor manufacturing. That's what that is.
Yeah. Do you think? I also go on the Steve Hoffman website. The amount of people who complain about vinyl pressings, you think, well, they can't just be all unlucky. There must be the quality. Obviously, is very hit and miss.
Right. It is. It varies from plant to plant. From you know. Record to record and everything. I don't have to deal with that with CDs. I returned one CD in the entire times I bought CDs since 1987. I only had to return one, and it was a Phil Collins CD that wouldn't play in my player. And there's a replacement did play. So,
yeah, I don't think of all the thousands of CDs I've bought over the years, there hasn't been one that I've ever sent back. If I've sent anything back, it's because maybe the outer casing was damaged, but never the CD has never been damaged ever. And I haven't got anything that doesn't play. Whereas I've got lots of records that I know people watching might say it's because you didn't look after them, but I've got lots of records that don't sound that good anymore. And I don't know why.
I won't say it's an age thing, but could it be an age thing, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know. It's just dust, isn't it? And humidity. And, you know, there's this all sorts of reasons why the poor vinyl records are need to be cared for like kittens. But have you got any other things you've thought of during this time that add weight to our discussion?
Not really, but you know, my biggest issue is not so much to deal with the format, is to deal with the fact that I live in an area where there's not much choices in terms of finding, you know,
where you can buy them from.
Where I can buy music, period, be it you know, CDs or vinyl. And right before I got that Prince CD, before I found it, I was going to make a road trip down to Austin, which is an hour down the freeway here, and to go down there to see if I could find it there. And I don't want to, you know, I should have drive an hour's drive anywhere to pick up an album or anything. And I don't want to make Jeff Bezos any more richer than he already is.
I mean, yes, I know what you mean. Yes, I know what you mean. Other stores are available, as they always say, and there are. And I think that's what all of us as music fans, those of you watching this video, listening to the podcast, is to support the artists, because it's not just about legacy artists and reissues. It's about new music coming out, and whether you go to a Bandcamp page for a band and you buy their CD, but you're helping to support the band. And I think that there are, and the small independent shops, the ones that are left, have obviously got online shops. You might pay a little bit more, but maybe you're dealing with someone that looks after the music more, has more knowledge, and has better customer service. You know, so I think that, you know, CDs are a format that is still very popular. It may be niche, but for all the labels watching this, there's a hell of a lot of fans out there that still love them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And I wish in this country that they would think about it sometimes, because I think, you know, I think fans here in the United States, when it comes to physical media, sort of get short shrift in a whole lot of things. Because I see things that are posted in the community that you guys see, that you guys have, like, man, I'd like to have that album. Yeah. And I go to Amazon and look at, maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah. Fantastic. Okay, well, thanks so much, Charlie. Thanks very much for taking part in this podcast. And
my pleasure.
Our discussion will help people realize that the CDs not only still rock, but they're very much loved as well.
Maybe we should do one about why CDs suck. How about that one?
Well, not for a while. We don't give the labels any ammunition that's falsely put across.
Oh, okay. somebody's bound to do it.
Oh yeah, well, of course they are. But that's why. I mean, you know, you can see I've got vinyl albums in the background. It's physical music, really. But I think that the vinyl has got tons of supporters. It's in the press. The music magazines are pushing it. But everybody seems to be always on a downer about CDs, that they're dead, buried. No one buys them anymore. So I think what our discussion is about, saying actually you're wrong. There are lots of people who like them.
Exactly.
Oh, well, thanks so much, Charlie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And we'll do this. And we'll do this again.
I hope so. I enjoyed it very much.
All right. Thanks, Charlie. Thank you. A big thank you to my guest Charlie White for being on the show, and to all our listeners. If you love the CD format, please get in touch and share your views with us. And don't forget to subscribe to Now Spinning Magazine to ensure you stay up to date with all our future podcasts and videos, and I look forward to being with you on our next episode.